Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
You got a couple crucial game times, which you should be excited about. It was a moral victory yesterday when an 11 a.m. kickoff has yet to be announced. Now, the Ole Miss game has the potential to be that, but it is still to be determined at this point. But the one that everyone wants to know about, hey, when's the Georgia game? When's the Georgia game? When's the Georgia game? The Georgia Bulldogs will play the Arkansas Razorbacks at 3 p.m. on the SEC Network. And we'll get into the other games that have been scheduled so far by the ESPN family of networks coming up here on the Morning Rush. 877-377-6963, the number to call or text in, always streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas, also on the TuneIn app as well. Make sure you're following our social media accounts at HitThatLineAR on Twitter, and then at HitThatLine on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Coach Nathan Brown, head coach of the UCA Bears, joins us at 7:15 this morning. We'll talk to him about his win on Saturday night. They got a game against the UAB Blazers tomorrow night, and the positives of non-positives, which all negatives of the coronavirus test that they took, him and his staff and his players, this past week. And you weren't as surprised to see the game times being announced this early.
No, I mean, first of all, I think these institutions, particularly on week one, I think Hunter Yurecek and John Fagg and the people that, you know, put together and orchestrated game time have had probably a tentative game time for days now. I wouldn't say weeks this point, but that, you know, there's still planning that has to go into how you're going to pull one of these off. Generally, when we go to SEC media days in July, we have game times and network assignments for the first couple of weeks, 3 weeks anyway. A lot of times they announce those TV assignments that's part of the announcement. So no, I'm not surprised that we got these now. Now I am a little bit surprised they announced essentially half the season. I thought we'd get the first 2 weeks, maybe three. I didn't think we'd get the first five at this point.
Well, they're kind of bounced around. If you look at the schedule, like, they don't have the October 10th game. They don't have the...
I guess they aren't the first five.
No, they bounced them around.
That's but we got five.
Got five of them. But again, the schedule, for those who haven't seen it, well, it's Georgia at 3 o'clock, and that's on the SEC Network. Mississippi State at 6:30, also on the SEC Network. The Ole Miss game has yet to be announced. It's either going to be 11 a.m., 2:30 p.m., or 3 p.m. The Texas A&M game, 6:30 on the SEC Network. And the Tennessee game is 6:30 on either ESPN or the SEC Network. And some of these are going to be on the alternate channel, right, if you get confused.
So, and hopefully none on the alternate channel, because that's always a disaster. Some of this is also a function, and we're going to get to later, what CBS has elected to carry in their games. You look at...
Don't anticipate Arkansas getting on the CBS slot.
Well, you know,
this year
maybe. You're probably right, but they play some opponents that CBS would want to air. With there being only conference games this year, they're always going to have a good option. Arkansas's gotten into some of them 2:30 slots that Arkansas didn't deserve to be in, but their opponent does. I don't know that that's going to be an option this year, just because there's so many quality games. There's not a week where everybody's out of conference playing a non-conference game.
I'm trying to think, so, when is the last time they've been on the SEC on CBS?
Well, I mean, they played Missouri on it last year.
But that was
the same as 2:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, that's because they had the second, because it's right. Aaron Taylor and Carter Blackburn, right, who's the second team. I'm wondering, yeah, if you'll get to hear Nestler and Danielson call an Arkansas game this year.
So you look at like the October 31st game, they've already announced the 6:30 game time for the A&M. Well, that's the day LSU plays Auburn. You look at October 17th, the to-be-determined on the Ole Miss game. We know that, you know, Georgia and Bama is going to be the primetime game. There's also that day, one of the other games I thought was elected earlier that day for CBS, too. Aren't they doing a doubleheader?
What week are you talking about?
On the 17th? Are they not doing a doubleheader on the 17th?
The schedules, okay. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't looked at
it. Anyway, maybe not. So, you know, some of this is just a function of, hey, here's what CBS is doing, who gets to pick their games first. So great that we don't have a lot of 11 a.m. games. I don't know that there is a bad slot to be on TV this year. I mean, because few games, little supply, fans are going to be home wanting to watch. I mean, the hardcore fans going to be up watching game day and then rolling right into the 11 a.m. games as they normally do. So I don't know that, you know, to me, I'm a fan of the 11 a.m. games, but I don't want to play five of them in a year either. So if you'd told me the opening game is going to be 11, A, I wouldn't have been surprised completely, and B, I don't think it's as bad a deal as some people make it out to be. The people that don't like 11 are the people that want to drink and party all day in the parking lot, and I get that. And there's not going to be as much of that. So as a fan that's only going, not tailgating, not being able to party, 11's not as bad a deal as you think.
I think with your and my perspective, our day is done quicker. Like if we're doing the post game, that's why I think I don't like the 11 a.m. games. I would rather stay up and late and even do a post game at that point. But you like it because your day's done.
Well,
but
I like it because I can watch more college football.
Yeah, and I guess it just depends where Arkansas's at. You probably, not to say that you haven't paid attention to Arkansas football these last two or three years, but like Tommy's saying, you get a chance to watch more college football games when Arkansas occupies the 3 o'clock slot or the 6:30 slot or the 2:30 slot. You're less likely to watch a better game in college football because you're focused on the Razorbacks, even though there might be a better game in college football. And that might be. There's been multiple better games during when the Hogs have played, but the 11 a.m. game, and yes, there's not going to be as much tailgating, but people will still tailgate. People are still, not near the stadium, but people are still going to do that. That's still going to affect.
It's going to be greatly diminished.
Oh,
so,
yeah. No.
I mean, the reason you don't want an 11 a.m. home, I mean, do you care? Most people don't care if there's an 11 a.m. road game. We don't get calls and an uproar when there's an 11 a.m. game on the road. It's the 11 a.m. home games people don't like because you've been out Friday night to a high school game in normal years, and it's 11 a.m. just mess up your tailgate. Breakfast food's not a tailgate item. Then do you stay after the game? You know, tailgate, number one, it's going to be diminished because you only got 17,000 fans. Number two, tailgating not being allowed in the assigned parking lots this year is going to curtail a lot of that activity this season. So 11 a.m. is not going to have nearly the damper on it to most fans that I think it has in previous years. You're right. You don't want an 11 a.m. home game. But 11 a.m. road games, you actually kind of want those, right? Because generally, in a normal situation, the home crowd's a little more subdued at 11 a.m. So we'll just see what happens. I'd bet a pretty good amount of money that Ole Miss game probably falls at 11 a.m.
I just think with what's going on with Arkansas football right now, it's not that big of a deal when you're not as good and then you get to watch other college football, but it's definitely more of a bigger deal, obviously, with tailgating not being allowed this season on, as Tommy mentioned, the parking lots on U of A's campus and really any property that's on the Arkansas campus. There's still going to be some tailgating at houses and nearby places, but it's not even going to be close to what you've seen in years past. But because of where Arkansas football is right now, or what it's been, and we got to get out again, like distinguish the difference between where it's been and where it could be at. You're not as ticked off missing an Arkansas game because there's other college football games that you're more tuned to. Completely different story in 2010, 2011, 06, 02 when you're 98, when you're watching every single game, you didn't care. You wanted it to be night because you knew it was a good chance to win. So it's going to be very interesting to see what other game times Arkansas gets this upcoming college football season in their SEC slate.
Well, and you don't have the Alabama game time on here. You don't have the LSU game time. You don't have the Auburn game time. All teams that these networks are going to want to put on in a primetime slot. I don't think you're done playing at the most desirable times because the opponents you still have left, Ty, these are teams that ESPN and CBS are going to want to put on TV.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they get on CBS this fall, you know, what the percentage of that would be.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Oh, he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
The Athletic came out with their 76th poll, the 76 teams that are participating in college football right now. Arkansas is at 62. It's the worst team in the Power Five. Now, this is not surprising based on what people know about your program, based on where your program has been. This is another ranking that you've come out and seen that's, oh man, it has you at the bottom of the list, bottom of the SEC. And until you prove it on the field, you're going to continue to be a basement dweller until the production changes.
Yeah, I mean, the problem that I have with this is people hear this, and I'm not saying that's wrong or that Arkansas should be higher. I'm not here to argue that. But it gives the idea, or at least the perception, maybe without even saying it, that, well, it's just going to be a carbon copy of the last 2 years. Well, I mean, honestly, you could go 2-8 this year and be greatly improved. Now, you know, that's kind of a sunshine way of looking at it, but you could be a much improved program this year with two wins.
I don't necessarily think that's I think that's a really positive season if they go 2-8.
But you hear things like what you just said, Ty, and the way where Arkansas is being ranked, and it's based on history. You know, they're making a prediction on this year, and maybe it's more of a snapshot about where you're at right now. Arkansas hadn't had a chance to do anything about it. I don't know what Arkansas can or will do about it this year, but everything's based on what Chad Morris has done the last 2 years, where the program's been the last three or four. There's just not a lot of reason for outsiders to bet on Arkansas to be a lot better. You got to remember, we're looking at Sam Pittman through a different lens than people around the country who see a first-time head coach in the SEC at 58 years old getting his first crack at a school that's got a lot of problems. There's a lot of reasons, if you don't completely understand the story, to not have a lot of faith.
Is that to a fault, though, on our end? Is that because, I mean, consistently we hear positive rhetoric from callers, we hear positive rhetoric on social media from fans, this guy's going to do it, this guy's going to do it. So eventually,
whether
you want to or not, you're going to buy into that, or you're going to lean more towards the positive side than the negative side. But
as I've said for weeks, we got to quit falling into this trap of, well, because of the last 2 years, things can't be different. Well, that's not true either. At some point, this season has to just become its own story. And it may not be a pretty story, but this season's really not going to have a lot to do with what happened last year.
Okay, on that note, because I have a question about that, because I agree with a lot of what you said, but what, just on the top of your head, what freshmen do you think are going to have a major impact on this football team?
Freshmen. I don't know if there's many freshmen, but would you say that players like Felipe Franks are going to have an impact?
And that's what I was, yeah.
Would you say a player like Xavier Kelly may have an impact?
A.J. Reed.
You know, some of these, I mean, I don't know, we can't only look at freshmen that have changed the team. Would you say that when we've talked about these offensive line players and it looks like they've kind of settled in on a five, that perhaps they're a better group of offensive linemen this year than they were a year ago?
Luke Jones is one of those additions as well.
Right.
He was sitting out this past season after he transferred
from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that the players have developed in the program? Now, that's the unseen, and that's the thing we're always told. We need to see that. But I'm going to give some benefit of the doubt that, you know, when you have another year of experience, you should just fall into improvement, right? Just being around it, going through practices, watching films, getting coaching, you can't help but just get better, even if it's marginal. So, freshman? I don't have a freshman that necessarily, you know, Blaine Toll's one we've talked about it tied in this week. Perhaps he's going to be one that they've got their eye on it tied in to play maybe in some double tight end sets or back up Henry or maybe even take that job. We don't know. But, yeah, I'm with you. Traylon Smith's another player. I don't think you can only look at it as young players. The SEC's a tough place for a freshman to come in and be an impact player. But I do think there's transfer players, and I do think there's players that have been on this team for a couple of years that I expect to be marked improvement.
And that's where I was hoping you'd go with the conversation, that it's not just the freshmen that you've added with this past roster. It's the, like, a Luke Jones who had to sit out a year. It's Xavier Kelly, it's A.J. Reed, it's Felipe Franks, it's Jerry Jacobs. We'll see what happens with Levi Draper, but it's the guys that you have at. But I went back and listened to a radio segment.
Miles Slusher might be one you
talk about.
Might.
At safety position. Oh, I, the reason I asked this, Tommy, is because I went back and listened to us talking about this team prior to the 2019 season, and we said a lot of the similar things, which worried me a little bit. We said a lot of positives about Nick Starkel and Ben Hicks and this freshman class and the additions that they brought in and stuff. And listen, I don't want to put a negative spiel on the whole thing. All I know is a lot of what you're saying, a lot of what I'm saying, is what we said last year. And yes, there's a new coaching staff. Yes, there's that. But I just, again,
let me flip it on you then, because if you're basing on that, tell me, based on last year, based on everything, why they will absolutely be a below average, worst team in the SEC kind of program again this year.
You want me to go to the negatives?
I mean, if you're going to look at it the other way, why are they automatically excluded from any possibility of improvement based on what's happened last year? Because if that's the case, then just shut it down, because it'll never get better. If that's the case, it would have never gotten worse after 2010 and 2011, and we just know things change.
And listen, that's fair and stuff, but you're asking me to give you negatives. I'll give you negatives. This is one of the worst rosters in the SEC. Mm-hmm. You have the toughest schedule in college football. You have an unproven head coach. You have an unproven offensive coordinator in this league. You have a guy that was just recently... I mean, I could go on.
But Ty, no one's saying they're going to win 8. No one's saying they're going to win 9. We're just sitting here trying to figure out a path to 2 or 3 wins.
Yeah.
I don't know where this conversation yesterday afternoon, we kind of got tagged for it, of 4-6. No one on this program has ever said they're going to win 4 ball games.
Well, I told you, Orange is on drugs. He thinks the Florida game is winnable.
When I say this program can be greatly improved, hear what I'm saying. I'm talking about maybe winning 2, and if they fall backwards into something, maybe a 3rd win this year. To me, that's a reclamation. That's a real turnaround. If you went 3-7 this year, holy crap! I mean, we're on to something. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying, Ty. That to me is an outstanding year. If you got to 4,
no,
Lord!
I agree. I told you, I agree with you. I think so, two and eight is an improvement.
But when I say I think it can be a lot better, and I think that we got to quit looking at, you know, we don't have the non-conference games to build, you know, whether you built in some wins. There are no FCS programs. So we got to calculate all of that in this year into our expectations. I keep coming back to, how do you play in the losses? How do you look against the best teams in the country that are playing this year? And that's, you know, how do you look early against Georgia? I don't expect much. You know, but can you keep it within 25 to 30? You know, can you keep from being embarrassed multiple times in front of the country? That's part of figuring out where you're at as a program.
Derek texted and he says, you guys have both made great arguments in the conversation. A lot of times I'll just ask you something. I'll ask you this. Can this team be worse than they were last year? Do you or I think that?
Well,
no.
I'm done saying it can't get worse, because every time we think that, and I think a lot of what we were saying last year was the optimistic view of it can't get worse than 2-10. I mean, that's kind of where I was mentally last year. Surely a second year knowing these players, these coaches with a second year of teaching their message, it can't get worse. Boy, we're wrong. I was wrong about that. It got worse. I don't know how you're not at rock bottom. If this isn't rock bottom, and listen, you could go 0-10 this year and still be better, in my opinion. You could be a better football program even if you're 0-10. And I know that's hard to wrap your mind around. But you could be a better football. You could be a better football team, Ty. That's a true answer. Even if you don't win a football game,
I can't get on board with that, man. I cannot get on board with that.
If you're playing these games, and no one wants to hear we're close, but if you're competitive in 7 or 8 ball games this year, but you just can't break over and win, and you're playing the A&Ms again, you're playing Auburn, you're playing, you know, those teams in the middle, LSU, maybe even Alabama, to within 21 consistently, you're not getting would you not agree you're better than where you've been the last 2 years, where you were just getting throttled and embarrassed continuously?
I'll go back to what Phil always references. Bad teams find a way to lose close football games.
We've been worse than bad. We've been worse than bad. Just because you beat an FCS program does not make you better. Just because you have one win doesn't make you better than a winless 10-game SEC schedule.
I can't get on board with going 0-10 and getting on this radio station saying, or these radio stations, and saying you're a better football team.
Even considering the schedule. Even considering you don't have a built-in FCS win.
That may be unfair to Sam Pittman, but if you want to go to that route, that's fine. I will not get on these radio stations on the Morning Rush and say, and this is only under speculation if you go into it, which Tommy and I don't think is going to happen, but by season's end, I will not tell our audience you're a better football team than you were in 2019.
Even if you took Alabama to overtime in the last game. Even if you lost on the last play, like what year was it? Was said 14 you lost to LSU? 13. 13 you 13. Lost to LSU where the safety
Jennings.
Fell down.
Yeah, Anthony James.
Even if you lost, you should have won that game. If you lost like that in a season, you know, I'm just saying you could make that case against this schedule that, you know, this program is better. Now, we're trying to pick the pepper mill out of the chicken poop here. I'm trying to clean up that phrase because it's still a heaping pile right now that you've got to improve. So don't mishear me that I'm trying to get us into that same conversation with these elite teams. I'm just trying to get you out of the abyss because Arkansas has been the last 2 years in the abyss of college football. Would you agree with that?
I don't think there's any
argument.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out, is it rock bottom? You seem to think it can get worse.
Of course, you just said it could get worse.
If you go 0-10 and you're not within 30 in any games, that's worse.
Okay. So,
I'm just saying if you're in 10 ball games, even if you didn't win them, it's better than what's happened the last 2 years.
I'm going to use your own words against you for a sec because when we had the Darren McFadden Heisman conversation, and I'm always, he should have won it, he should have won it, he should have won it. You said, well, he didn't win it. Well, mm-hmm. You should have won these games, you should have won these mm-hmm. games. If you don't win them, then...
So it's pass or fail with you. There's no in between. So if you win by one or you lose by 51, it's the same thing to you.
If you go 0-for,
yes or
that's
no.
A conversation.
Same to
if
you.
You, go
you
over,
win by one or lose by 51, there it's the same. Now, I know the bottom line is win or lose, but there's no difference in your opinion of what happens if you lost by 50 to Alabama or...
You said win. Do you mean talk about lose by one? Lose by one or lose by 50?
I'm talking about lose by one.
Okay, you said lose by 50, win by one. So lose by 50.
No difference to you.
There is a difference, but
sure,
it's
okay.
Still, I mean, I'm not arguing that, but you can't. What you're asking me to say is if this team was to go 0-10 this football season, mm-hmm. that this team is better. Now, you could at least have that debate, but I'm not going to say that because I don't think, we always talk about precedent, right? Like there's no precedent for what's going on with the coronavirus. Well, the precedent that you would set is that it's acceptable to go 0-10 this football season based on, hey, listen, but the team got better.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying, what I am saying is that's how bad it's been. I'm trying to make you understand. That's how bad this program has been these last 2 years. It's so, Ty, it has been so bad. These last two seasons, that you could, in theory, go 0-10 and make the case that you're an improved football team. That's how bad it's been. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to put into perspective how bad off this program has been. Your wins have been what? Eastern Illinois, Tulsa, what, Portland State? Who am I missing? The four wins.
Colorado State. Second time around, not the first
Club
time around.
Club Dub. That's your four wins in the last 2 years? How many times have you been throttled? I can get the Phil Steele's out. Throttled in SEC play. All I'm trying to say is that's how bad it's been. We're not talking about moral victories. We're not talking about accepting media. I'm talking about it's been so bad the last 2 years that if you could just get to a point of being competitive, to keeping your gloves up, to going into the sixth or seventh round with a prize fighter, that's a lot better than getting your ass knocked out in the first round,
Derek.
Because that's what's been happening.
Well, you mentioned moral victory. Isn't it? Aren't you taking it into a moral victory that if you go 0-10, you're still better? Depending on how they shook out, it's a better football team than when you had.
Then let's just keep getting beat by 50. Because that to me, when you might as well just turn the game off in the first quarter, and there's nothing worth watching past quarter one. That's where we've been the last two seasons, right? There's been more than a handful of games where it is over early. It's like watching Mike Tyson fighting in the early 90s. It's just over in the first 90 seconds. That's the only point I'm making is I want to see these teams against the upper tier keep the gloves up and get into the middle of the late rounds. Let's be competitive. Let's show that there's some improvement. That's all I'm saying. Do I think they're going to go 0-10 and be a better? No. I'm just saying that's how bad. I'm not saying that this is what's going to happen. I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying that's how poor the last two seasons have been. That my scenario could actually be an opinion you might have looking back on it in late December.
You've had five losing seasons this past decade, 2012, 2013, 2017, and both 2018 and 2019. In those seasons, you've won a total of five conference games. That's all you've won in those five losing seasons. Five. And these last two seasons have been quite dreadful, and it's been tough. 877-377-6963, the number to call or text in. Rod has a football question. Rod, you're on the Morning Rush, man.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for taking my call. No, I can't do that. I see the Big Ten's doing a Yui. You know, money talk. But our team, you know how bad it's been. If we'd been in a pool, we'd have drowned 2 years ago. But there are other points to other teams that are just as concerning. You know, Mike Leach makes a living out of ticking people off. Why that's going down there. Lane might get him out of the Grove eventually, possibly. A&M, big plateau. A&M, the big plateau. Did it get about as good as they're going to get with Jimbo, you know? Because they really, you know, damn, now we almost beat them the last 2-3 years in a row with Chad Morris, for God's sake. That never happened. LSU lost everything this year. I mean, quarterback, even the guy that works with the quarterback, they lost everything. Maybe we shouldn't be as concerned about being down as they should be. They've been up. Maybe it's their time to go down for a change, because I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of A&M with the $70 million man, and I sure wouldn't want to be with Mike Leach over there if he's made everybody mad. I don't know. But if I had Chad Morris for a coach, I'd have walked out the second game 2 years ago, and I'd never come back. I just wouldn't have. That'd been it. It'd been over. I think the team did that, exactly that. Maybe they won't. They might be a little more motivated with this man. What do you think?
You hope so, man. They hope that's they are more motivated. Rod, appreciate the call this morning. Yeah, that you're hoping that Sam Pittman can kind of turn the tide, because I was reading Wally Hall's piece. It was an interesting conversation. He's covered 12 football coaches over his history here in Arkansas for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Half of those football coaches, six of them, have come in the last 11 years. Think about that. Half of those coaches have come in the last 11 years. We always talk stability being very important within the Arkansas baseball program. Norm DeBrien, Dave Van Horn. We haven't had stability at this one. You're hoping Sam Pittman can be that guy to provide some stableness. That is essential for this football team. Think about those coaches that Wally's covered in the last 11 years. So I guess if he's factoring that in, that doesn't include Houston Nutt. It's old Bobby Petrino, John L. Smith, Brett Bielema, Chad Morris, Sam Pittman. So I guess he's off on his math unless he included Houston Nutt. But Arkansas has had a number of different head coaches come and gone these last 15 years. And you're trying to get back to a point where you have guys that are here for a long period of time, like a Frank Broyles, like a Ken Hatfield, guys that stay here. Even Houston O was here for a while. You hope that you can establish that someone for quite some time. Pittman, you hope, is that guy that can be here. And you just need something to go right in year number one. Now, Tommy and I, again, I think people are angry because it's a negative conversation this morning. Tommy and I don't think that this team's going 0-10. We just have differences of opinion. If they go 0-10, how we'll discuss it come season's end.
Let me put some context into what I'm talking about. I went back and just looked at the last 2 years. Let me just, I don't want to dig up old scar tissue here, but remember 18, where you lost five games by 27 or more, including North Texas, who beat you by 27. Auburn, 34-3. Bama, everybody jumped up and down because you scored 31 on Bama. Remember, you lost that game by 34, 65-31. You got stomped and embarrassed by Mississippi State, 52-6 to Mississippi State. And if you thought that was bad, Missouri beat you 38-0. I mean, that's how bad it's been. My point is, if you avoid letting those things happen to you, If you did nothing more than that, you know, then in 19, Auburn beat you 51-10, Bama 48-7. Last year, Mississippi State clocked you by 30, 54-24. Western Kentucky was the final nail in the coffin, as we know. 45-19 and LSU 56-20. All those are tough, embarrassing losses where you just, you know, no need to watch the second half. That's the point in the context I'm coming from. Quit doing those things. Just start there. If you quit doing those things, that's improvement. You know.
What do you think's more painful, losing the game, the closing moments, or getting clocked by 30 and just letting yourself go early?
They're both painful in different ways, but at least you had a chance if you lost in the closing moments. I would rather be in the game and have a chance and have my heart broken as to know I never stood a shot, never deserved to be in the ball game. You know, there's five games in each year you lost by, what, 27 or more. You never deserved to even be on the field. You couldn't even really get on the field. But in some of these are teams like North Texas and Western Kentucky. That day, you couldn't even get on the field with them. And I'm not even talking about losses to Colorado State in 18. You know, and other embarrassing non-conference. You don't have any of those games this year to kind of pad in a victory. And those haven't been pad-in victories the last 2 years. Don't mishear what I'm saying. No one's rooting for 0-10. I'm just saying, if it goes sour and the record's not where you're at, it doesn't mean there's no improvement this year. That's all. That's the only point I'm trying to make, is there can be some improvement even in a record that you don't think is better. And listen, two wins is a heck of a lot better, even though it's the same number you've had the last couple of years.
Let me ask you this real quick. Will they have blowout losses in 2020?
I hope they can limit that to one. That's kind of my expectation.
I think it'll be more than one, unfortunately.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
I ranked the schedule and put this on social media yesterday of what games I think are the least difficult compared to most difficult. Here's the order again from least difficult to most difficult. I have Missouri, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee. This is where people, this is really the only debate that most people have with my list. LSU, then Texas A&M, then Auburn, then Florida, then Georgia, then Alabama. Alabama being the most difficult, Missouri being the least difficult. First glance, and I know I sent you this last night, Do you have a problem or something you would change right off the bat?
Yeah, I changed a few things right off the bat. I think the Ole Miss game and the Missouri game, I think you got the Missouri game in the right spot. I think the first three are in the right order. I think the Mississippi State game is there. I don't have a big problem with those, but we do believe those are the most winnable games with Missouri, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. And they're probably in the right order, considering Mississippi State's the road game. Missouri's down in the schedule. If you're under the assumption you're going to be a better football team by, what would that be, game 9, week 10, which I am, that should be your easiest home game to come up with a victory. So I don't have a problem with you 1, 2, and 3. There's a lot of debate and argument over who you value more in Tennessee, LSU, A&M, Auburn. I do think you got the last three, but I would flip-flop Georgia, Bama. I think Georgia's your most difficult game. And here's where I'm coming from. Is Alabama maybe better than Georgia? Yes. But where's it at on the schedule? It's game 1. Is Arkansas going to be playing their best football? And you can say, well, but Tommy, is Georgia going to be playing theirs? No, but everybody's healthy. Nobody's injured. I know that goes both ways. But the gap and the disparity in rosters in game 1 is probably maybe the widest than maybe perhaps it will be by the final game of the year against Bama, who may not have much to play for at that point and maybe possibly not even playing everybody that they could play.
I think they're, and I've said this openly, I think they'll be one-way ticket to Atlanta at this point. They're going to have Auburn the week before they play Arkansas. I think they'll win that game. They will be locked into the SEC West. I think they're 9-0 at that point. I have them beating Georgia earlier that season, so or this season. So you are going to be probably not, and I'm talking about Bama, you're going to be 9-0 at that point playing Arkansas. To me, though, Arkansas is going to be so, and listen, it's how it is. Arkansas gets decimated by injuries. This year, I don't think it's going to be any exception. You're going to have guys in, I think Saban's going to be able to not let them overlook the Razorbacks, even though it's going to be hard not to. I think they did that 2 years ago when they came to Fayetteville. I think he's going to make an example out of what happened 2 years ago and make sure that they pummel Arkansas on the ground.
And we'll see. But if they have the West, or they have the division and the spot in Atlanta sewed up, and you know what an injury would cost you. I mean, I'm just saying based on where it's placed in the schedule. I'm not trying to say that Georgia's, in my mind, better than Bama. I'm just saying based on the placement in the schedule, I think the Georgia game may be more difficult to win than the Bama game. I don't think Arkansas's winning either of those games, so don't mishear what I'm saying. I'm just saying based on where it's at, knowing everybody's fully healthy, there's just a lot of factors that can occur over the course of a season. Alabama's last in your schedule, Georgia's first. To me, that makes it the most difficult game.
Carl Lavaca wants to hit on this conversation when it comes to the football schedule. Carl, you're on the Morning Rush, man.
Hey, guys. You know, Ty, I was just looking at your schedule in your rankings of it. Excuse me. I mean, I agree with it for the most part. I mean, the LSU-Texas A&M game could be flip-flopped just, you know, due to LSU losing 25 starters from last year's team. All in total, and then with Jamar Chase opting out and then another corner opt out, you know, it's just a toss-up with them. It's going to be a brand-new team, and we'll really see how good of a coach Ed O is without Joe Brady, the offensive mastermind, who, in my opinion, was the true successor behind the last year's national championship team. However, to Tommy's point, you know, the Georgia and Alabama game, that's 100% a toss-up. I don't think we're winning either of them, obviously. But I think that, you know, with Georgia being the first game of the year, they're going to bring a quarterback. Who that may be, we don't know, assuming it's Jamie Newman. Not saying we'll catch him and win, but I think we have a better chance of making that game more competitive than we do Bama at the end of the year. However, I do see your point about, you know, why some guys might not have a whole lot to play for in the last game of the season, barring their professional career. So. I think we've seen Mac Jones.
Yeah, Carl, do you think Alabama's second team could beat Arkansas's first team? Because I do. I think Alabama's third string could beat Arkansas. I mean, that's my point is there's probably going to be a situation where Alabama may not have to play a lot of their frontline starters in that game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But
we're in a year with COVID and everything else. You may manage it differently this year. We'll just have to see how Saban would approach that. But we're putting the cart, you know, 10 miles ahead of the horse.
I was going to say, I got to go back, and I don't – typically the Iron Bowl is the last game Alabama plays this season. They've locked up the West before the Iron Bowl began. And to my
– But the Iron Bowl is a different animal. I mean, that game means more than the West to a lot of their fans.
I would just be hard-pressed to see Nick Saban sit out starters – before the SEC championship game against
Sit out and not play for four quarters are two different things. He may start someone playing for a series. I'm just saying in that game, someone that might play a normal out of 60 minutes, you know, or let's put it in snap terms, out of an offensive, say, 75 snaps, they may play 65 of them. They may only play 20 of them in that game.
I think it just depends on the competitive nature of that game itself. Sure.
Right. Lastly, I'll finish this up real quick. But yeah, it's almost like a preseason game in Alabama's eyes. You know, they might play the starters for a number of snaps, a number of possessions. And
it's an inconvenience is what they'll think it is that week. It's an inconvenience to have to play Arkansas before the SEC championship game.
Lastly, do y'all think, you know, I think maximum, you know, best possible scenario, 4 wins this season. I want to hear y'all's thoughts. I think the first 3 with Mizzou, Ole Miss, Mississippi State are definitely winnable. Tennessee is a toss-up, and who knows with A&M, but I just want to hear y'all's thoughts. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate the call, Carl. We actually discussed that a little earlier this morning. Tommy and I both agree. I think the maximal wins you can get this year is 3.
Four stretching it for me. I agree.
Dangerous rhetoric, as Ruskin and Zach would.
Is Missouri, Ole Miss, Mississippi State winnable games? Yes, but I don't think you're going to win all 3. So let's just say things bounce your way and you win 2 of those 3. I do think maybe you can find that win. I do think LSU is gettable. I don't know if it's winnable based on the losses they've incurred with their roster. Tennessee's another game I find interesting. The A&M series has been even, but you got to go to College Station this year, but it's not going to be a full house. I find it hard to believe that you'll hardly be able to stay in the game with Bama, Georgia, and probably Florida. I think 3 is like the limit, and I'm expecting more like 1 or 2. But, you know, I could see you'd have to have some good fortune and tie it. And you don't want to wish ill on another team to have a COVID outbreak.
Never root for injuries.
It's not just injuries this year. It's illness. You know, You don't want another team to hey, their quarterback room got wiped out. Their running back room wiped out with but listen, you run into that this year, and it's going to create a mismatch at, hey, their offensive line, they're down to, they got four offensive linemen. They're playing a backup defensive tackle on the other side of the ball this week because their O-line room is wiped out. Those are the kind of things that you can't account for this year that could lead to a major upset somewhere in college football. I just don't expect Arkansas will ever be on the right end of something like that because, well, we're Arkansas.
I'm going to put some words in your mouth real quick. So what you're saying is before every game, a bunch of co-eds from the University of Arkansas should travel to each venue, each college town, who they're set to play that week, and ask the football players to throw a party. Yeah, well, is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, only if there's I would not support or endorse the spread of coronavirus.
Wink, wink. Are you winking right now? Can't see him. He's only the people.
Only
on the
with their offensive linemen.
Yeah. So that's something. Obviously, but, we're saying that joke. If you can't pick up the sarcasm, we're completely joking.
But that's a factor this year that, I mean, we can't predict and no one can predict, but it's a reality. You know, if that leads to a win, you'll take it. But, I mean, I just can't count on that to happen this year. So, Carl, I don't think four, in my opinion, unless something wild like that, and to me that's wild, unless something wild like that happens, I don't see how you get to four. But I'm just looking for improvement. I've been hammering and beating this drum all morning. I just want to see you be more competitive in these games where you don't think you can win. And that's not settling for mediocrity. That's not moral victories. It's just not getting your tail kicked by 35 and 40 points and not getting, you know, not getting embarrassed like you have consistently seen happen over these last two seasons and really over the last seven.
You think about the quarterbacks that you're playing this year, it's going to be either the former Fayetteville High School quarterback, Taylor Powell, or Sean Robinson, former TCU transfer. John Rhys Plumlee, Ole Miss, which, by the way, funny story about John Rhys. He put out, the Ole Miss put out some video of him. He's like, hey, continue social distance or whatever. And a couple students called him out. It's like, bro, we saw you at the bars on Saturday night, which is just classic Ole Miss quarterback.
Practice what you preach.
Classic Ole Miss. It's, I don't even know if Corral's still there anymore, but I think Plumlee's the starter there. Mississippi State, KJ Costello, the Stanford transfer. Tennessee, Jared Garitano, LSU, Miles Brennan, Texas A&M, Kellen Mond, Auburn's Bo Nix, Florida's Kyle Trask, Georgia, Jamie Newman, or JT Daniels, and then Alabama is either going to be Mac Jones or Bryce Young. What you're hoping, again, I'm going to put some more words in your mouth.
All right.
You're hoping that those quarterbacks like to party and like to break the rules because we know how much the quarterback position is important for the game of football. Yeah. And if one of those guys caught COVID prior to playing Arkansas or wasn't eligible to play, not to say that would be the ultimate factor from a win or loss, but it would definitely help your chances when it comes to this
year. And on that note, still take five linemen being lost over one quarterback.
And that's
though true.
And on that note, you really hope that Felipe Frank, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, is basically bubble wraps himself and stays in his dorm room. And
listen, those quarterbacks will be on lockdown once the season starts. There will be, particularly, if it's only going to take one somewhere in the country to miss a game, and these coaches are going to, I mean, they're going to be on like Secret Service protection.
W. N. Wicks texts in, he says, I wonder what percentage of Alabama needs to be hit with the coronavirus before we have a chance to win. 80%? Question mark. You were joking about with the third team. I think Arkansas would probably beat Alabama's third team. Second team would be a really tight ball game. But
you think? You really think Arkansas would be in a tight ball game with the number twos on Bama? Right now, with this defense.
Tighter.
Okay.
Maybe not tight. Maybe I jumped the gun a little bit on that. Tighter. Well, I mean, we're going to see it with LSU, right? I mean, this is basically their second unit from last year. 26
guys. Yeah, we didn't say LSU, though. We were talking about Bama.
Alabama.
I didn't say LSU.
Man, I don't know. Maybe that's jumping the gun a little bit when it comes to that conversation. I don't know. But we'll continue on. Ranking the difficulty on Arkansas schedule. I got Missouri at the easiest and Alabama at the most difficult. 877-377-6963. PA on Tex Arcana wants to hop in the conversation. PA, you're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, good morning,
man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Tommy.
Yo.
Come on, man.
What?
I mean, you don't. You're not. I know you're not that pessimistic when you get out there trying to catch them Browns up there on the river. Are you?
What am I being pessimistic about?
The third string of Alabama could beat Arkansas. I mean, that means their third string
quarterback. They recruit well down there in Alabama, PA.
I know they do. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we realize, and this is just my little opinion, I don't think we realize just how bad Chad Morris was as far as his staff was coaching. Their defensive coordinator for the last 2 years, where is he at now?
He's at a junior
in middle school somewhere.
Well, that's because he's.
And we had a 31 or 32 year old offensive coordinator. Yeah.
He's at UAB, right? He's coaching tight ends at UAB against UCA.
We should have asked Coach Brown. Hey, are you scared at all of the tight end positions?
Yeah.
What all I'm saying is that these guys. One thing Chad did do was in 2019. He had a really good class. I wouldn't say really good, but a good class. And I think with the coaching these guys are going to get now, we have four guys on our coaching staff right now who are better than Chad Morris, in my opinion. And I just think they're going to get coached up some, and I don't think they need to be coached up
a lot. I think they're going to get coached up a lot. We've been talking about that, PA, that the biggest difference in last year's team and this year's team is the coaching staff. I don't think we can equate that enough. The elevation of not just, you know, if you think the head coach is a wash, fine, whatever. The difference in your coordinators, the difference in your offensive and defensive line coaching is going to be, particularly the O-line coaching, I think will be noticeable to the average fan. So
right.
I don't think we can even speak enough on the level of coaching that I believe there's going to be a vast improvement this year.
Well, plus, I mean, we got to remember, I think we do, that this team, I think you use this term, let go of the rope on Chad Morris at the middle after about four or five games last year.
You think?
And they just basically, you know.
Well, I mean, they lost by 41, 41, 36, 26, and 30 in five different ball games last year, including Western Kentucky, 45-19.
Right.
So, I mean, that is the definition of letting go of the rope.
Right. That's the game that tells me right there against Western Kentucky, because there's no way Western Kentucky has as good a talent as Arkansas does.
Without that game, PA, we may be sitting here talking about a third year for Chad Morris. And how?
Oh my goodness!
How depressing would that be?
Yeah, that would be a nightmare that I just don't want to think about. But anyway, guys, I appreciate your time. And after my little temper tantrum last time, so I appreciate you guys letting me back on the air. So
sure thing.
Anytime, PA.
All right, y'all take care.
See you, PA. Good call this morning. You're talking about this season getting tougher. One of the aspects that Sam Pittman continuously hits on during these press conferences via Zoom is mental toughness.
Your mind affects your whole entire body. We have to be, like I told you a long time ago, we have to be a mentally tough team. And if we can continue to work on the mental toughness, I think that will mentally be in better shape. I believe that. I believe we practice hard. I believe we have plenty of conditioning. But I believe that our mind needs to be stronger so we can work through those situations. I don't necessarily think we're in bad shape. I think that we just have to be a stronger football team mentally.
You think about the losses that Tommy brought up, the continuous blowouts to Auburn, Mississippi State, teams that you were just getting annihilated, crushed, melted by. You're going to have that this year, but it can't be to the same level and the same number of games that you had this past season.
And that's all I've been preaching on this morning is you can be a better football team without a markedly better record, or even not even a better record, considering you're not playing any non-conference games. You can't look at 2-10 the last 2 years in the same way you look at the 10-game schedule this year. You got to look at the last 2 years as 0-8 and 0-8, because you're not playing any non-conference games. You haven't won a conference game the last 2 years. We all know that. We don't need to hammer on that. I'm just saying you can be better by just avoiding these numbers I keep going through, you know, that are reality. These aren't things that we think might happen. These are things that have happened. These are things that did happen. At least you won't lose to North Texas 44-17. You won't lose to Western Kentucky 45-19. But you got to quit losing to Mississippi State 52-6 and 54-24. That's the things that you can't lose to Missouri anymore 38-0. Those are the things that have to stop.
Back to the scheduling conversation. You said the only thing you would switch was Georgia and Alabama, Georgia being the toughest over Bama. Was there another thing that you wanted to change?
No, I mean, we're pretty well in agreement. And the only reason I'm just picking at it just for conversation, but I just think where it's at in the schedule, and if Alabama's as good as we think they're going to be, and I think they're going to be good, I do think Bama's better than Georgia, I'm just not sure they're going to play. Now, that being said, if Arkansas was in that game and Arkansas's a lot better, situation changes. But there's just so much that's going to happen potentially between now and Bama. Georgia's right on your doorstep. That's going to be a hard ball game to win.
And I need to go on the record and say that Tommy and I have not said four wins on this program. I don't know where Ruskin's at. I know Ruskin's pretty cognizant. Arns is on drugs, so we have not said that. And
that's dangerous rhetoric.
He also thinks that Florida is a winnable football game. I don't know where he gets that. LSU is more winnable than Florida.
Winnable or gettable? Those are two. I mean, I've heard both terms thrown around.
He said, I've heard both come out of his mouth.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.